FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is January 3rd, 2017. Can you believe it? Well, Happy New Year to one and all. Years will come and go, but the market is the market. And here with us is Mickey Fulp to discuss the annual review of the markets. Mickey, hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Kerry.
Thank you. So, well, some of the markets were happier than others in 2016, weren't they?
Well, I think most of the markets were happy. Of everything we tracked, I can only find two in the red all year. And one of those was the euro. And of course, with the dollar rising, the euro has to go down. And the other one was uranium, which had a horrible year. But everything else was up, up and away. All U.S. markets hit all-time highs, came off a bit in the last week of the year. But the Dow closed at 19,763. For a 3% monthly gain, an 8% quarterly gain, a 10% half-year gain, and a 13% yearly gain. So that kind of leads into the fact that all U.S. markets that we track had positive months, quarter, halves, and year. S&P 500 up 9.5% for the year, NASDAQ plus 7.5%. And finally, the Russell 2000 was up nearly 20% over the year. And Kerry, most of that was in the last 7 weeks once Trump got elected. So small business will prosper. We hope, we think, we're pretty convinced under a Trump administration.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, the January effect had absolutely no effect on 2016.
True.
Remember that? I mean, January last year, I mean, it was dangerous there. I mean, the Dow was down 5.5%. The Russell was down 9%. And we're thinking, if this is the January effect, it's not going to be very pleasant because this is going to be a bad year. And then this happens. So go figure.
Well, yeah. So there was this one day, January 20th, where everything was red. U.S. markets, commodities, money, red across the board. And that was low for just about everything over the year. And it was really a great year for anybody that plays the markets or commodities.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we go on to our the Canadian market, phenomenal year there.
Yeah, the Toronto Big Board up 17.5% this year. That's just 3% off its all-time high set way back in mid-August of 2014 when oil was, what, $100 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Venture Exchange turned in arguably the best of all markets, up a whopping 46% over the year. We hit a tax loss low on that on December 20th. It touched its 200-day moving average. But as I have predicted, there was a big rally over the last week. It's now, it went from 717 to 762. So a very good year for the Toronto Venture Exchange. But we have to realize that it set its all-time low on January 20th of 474. So take that with a grain of salt. Emerging markets bucked the trend a bit this quarter, negative quarter, down almost 5%. I think that's really due to the surge in the U.S. markets and the bullishness with Trump elected. But they still closed the year positive, up almost 9%. And the VIX has been very low since February, in the low to mid-teens. So volatility has been very low for the last 10 months.
Yeah, for sure. And then we go to our money markets. I mean, this was a year of the dollar. I mean, no other way to put it.
Well, it's really been 2 years of the dollar now since we bounced off that 80 point 80 on the index way back in the 1st of July of 2014. So that's 2.5 years ago. The U.S. dollar reached 14-year highs, closed the year at 102.35, up almost 4%. The euro concomitantly had something of a low. I would think that was a 13 to 14 year low. I could only really find a chart quickly for the last 10 years. Closed less than $1.05. The 10-year treasury hit a 2-year high based on the bullish remarks by the Fed in mid-December. That rate is 2.45. We haven't seen that in a long time. And then there's Bitcoin, Kerry.
What can you say about Bitcoin?
It soared over the month.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
57% over the quarter, 30% for the month, 122% for the year. We haven't seen this value. It closed at 956 since it went exponential, and that would have been back in the 1st of December of 2013.
Yes.
But I want to put Bitcoin in perspective, and I sent you an email from the Visual Capitalist, something I get every year or every day from Vancouver. They came out with the total amount of Forex trading per day is $5.1 trillion in foreign exchange currencies, basically, every day. 88% of that is U.S. dollars. But of that $5.1 trillion in foreign exchange every day, Bitcoin comes in at $100 million. So to put that in perspective, for every $1 million of currency trading every day, Bitcoin does $20.
The tail, it's the flea wagging the tail, wagging the dog, right?
Well, it is. And maybe that explains how it can be so volatile. You know, if we look back at the last 6 quarters and Bitcoin's performance, it lost 88% in the third quarter of 2015. It made 82% gain in the fourth quarter of 2015. Here's the four quarters of 2016. Minus 3.5%, plus 62%, minus 9.5%, plus 57%.
Yeah.
So you could play Bitcoin on its volatility on a quarterly basis and probably make money. Real money.
Real money. Real Bitcoins. Yeah. Well, there was one time
you turned into gold. That's real money.
There was one time way back when in 2012, end of 2012, first quarter, it went up 588%. And then in the end of 2013, it looks like it's almost looking like the cycle is end of the year. It sees its biggest gains. It went down 32.5%, but was up 515% for the quarter. I mean, you know, you just don't see numbers like that. It's like the Wild West days of the U.S. stock exchange in the early 1900s, and you would see these kind of moves.
Right. And we all know how that ended in 1907.
Not well.
Jesse Livermore wrote a book about that, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, so now we head off to our metals. Definitely not the best quarter, not a terrible month, but they were definitely down.
Yeah, gold and silver were a tale of two halves of the year. The first half of the year, gold was up 24%. Last half of the year, it was down 13%. Total gain was still nice. 8.5% gain on the year for gold. Silver, similar tale, but it gained 14% over the year. So we're well off our highs of mid-August, or let's say early July to the end of August, when it was consistently above 1,300. But gold and silver did come off. Platinum was actually was volatile over the year, but ended the year basically flat at 901 for a percent gain. Palladium gained 20%, but it still lost almost 12% this month. So a mixed bag for precious metals, but all in all, a very good year for precious metals. Also a very good year for copper since it hit that low of $1.96 on that witching day of January 20th. I closed the year at 250, reached a high of 265 in November, but that's still an 18% gain. And we look with Trump's infrastructure build out for the copper market to have a very good year.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, Dr. Copper knows something there. So
yeah, Dr. Copper's back in the pink here. So
yeah, then we look at our energies, which good year for most of the energy sector. Really good year, but coming off a major low.
Yeah, and that once again was that. It was actually for the oils. It was 2 days. It was January 20th when it went below $27, and then it tested that low and actually went a little bit lower. I think WTI closed at $26.19 on February 11th, but then it just came back strong. WTI closed the year at $53.80, up a whopping 47%. Brent was closed the year at $56.81, up almost 56%. And the real winner this year U.S. gas, Henry Hub natural gas, up on the year 72%, closed at $3.80. And that really is have to do with decreasing inventories. The supply demand fundamentals of natural gas are back in normality here. And most of the fossil fuels, and really those were the best performers for the year. We don't really cover coal, but met coal and thermal coal were both up somewhere well above 100, maybe even 200% for the year.
That's a Trump play. That's definitely a Trump play.
Well, actually, not really, Kerry, because coal really started coming back after maybe in August. When we saw these really big rises in coal, and they've actually been flat since Trump was elected. But that once again is supply demand fundamentals, a stronger China, greater demand for coking coal in China, and also thermal coal as they try to use some cleaner coal to burn. They've banned a lot of mining in the winter time now of their dirty coal. Basically shut the mines down. I think the real story for energy happened within the last month, and that's when OPEC blinked. The Saudis blinked, the Russians blinked. This whole movement to redistribute oil markets worldwide that started in the late fall of 2014. The Saudis lost, U.S. shale won, and so with oil pushing above $50, we're seeing a lot more drill rigs drilling for shale oil and shale gas right now.
Permian Basin.
In my mind, the U.S. won on that because you eliminated a bunch of bad oil companies with too much debt. You consolidated the industry. You come out leaner and meaner on the back end of this with netbacks, or let's say total cost of production, probably averaging $30 to $35 a barrel.
Yeah, once you get that debt off the books, that excessive debt, all of a sudden is very competitive. And the Permian Basin is just booming. Not so much for North Dakota, but if prices start creeping back up to $60, $65 a barrel, the North Dakota Bakken will start picking up again as well. Hey, I just want to go back to nat gas. So
yeah,
$3.80, all right? Henry Hub's at $3.80. We haven't seen that price since the horrid winter of November 30th of 2014. And it was in the $4 range before that. I mean, it was down to $1.66. I think that was a 10-year low for Henry Hub. I mean, it was
that $1.66, Kerry, was the end of February.
Yeah. I mean, that is quite a remarkable recovery that really has nothing to do with OPEC or anything else. Like you said, inventories, low prices, meaning shut-in wells. And obviously, when a commodity goes that low and you've got a choice, you opt for your lower price per BTU, which is what industry does. One reason why some industries, energy intensive in particular, have made the decision, it's in spite of all the faults of the United States, that low in energy price becomes very alluring when it's down to $1.66 per million BTU. You can't say no to it.
Well, and even at $3.80, that's still not a strong price for nat gas. So I think we're going to see this movement to burn natural gas, convert coal-fired plants. That's going to go by the wayside to a large degree with Trump coming into office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The trend is there. No question about it. So, and then we get down to one of your favorites and one of the least favorite markets of this year. As you said, one of the two least favorite markets, U308.
And yeah, it was a horrible year. Down 40% on the year. We actually spot price went below $18 at the end of last month. It bounced with the Trump effect and his commitment to revitalizing the domestic uranium industry. But that's a 12-year low for spot prices. And those spot prices will come up, I think, in 2017. But we're still looking for a while down the road here before uranium worldwide becomes in supply-demand balance once again.
Yeah. So it's got to happen at some point. And the demand fundamentals are definitely for increased demand. I mean, they're building new plants all over the place. Got to happen. So at some point, the market fundamentals will assert themselves, right?
Absolutely.
So just a question of when. And finally, our ratios.
Nothing changed much over the month. Gold, silver, 72.5. Platinum to gold remains very low at 0.78. You know, that we're still at or near the historic low at 0.75. Probably in the energy sector, the one that is most interesting or shows the biggest change is the WTI to Henry Hub ratio, now down to 14 and change. And that's the lowest since we've been tracking, since we've been doing this program. And Kerry, this is actually the end of our fifth year and the beginning of our sixth year in doing this show.
Yeah, hard to believe, huh?
Well,
time,
you know,
by.
The years go faster as we all get older. So,
yes, they do. And it's been interesting because I can say if we hadn't been doing the show, I wouldn't have followed the trends of these markets, learned what I have, and really just gotten the kind of exposure to what's going on here. Because it's too easy your day to day life to just lose track of what's really happening. And you know, so I'm grateful to you for that. And just to be kind of witness to history here. So much has happened in the past 5 years. And no doubt that rate will be picking up even faster in the next 5 years.
Well, I agree. And I thank you for the opportunity to do this show now beginning our sixth year. It's been a great source of data for me. I sit here with our now 6-page spreadsheet, realize we started this show with a 1-page spreadsheet. But if I need to pull a factoid out about prices or over the last 5 years, all I do is bring up the spreadsheet and it's right there in front of me. So it's been a valuable tool for me too, and I look forward to continuing this program.
Absolutely, and it's something that you really can't get elsewhere. Nobody really goes back and reviews what happened in the past. They're just looking for today, you know? And it's so important to get the historic perspective, because otherwise you don't really know what's happening. You know, you look at nat gas today, it's 380, and you say, gee, that's higher. But until you go back and you look at the charts and you see the last time it happened was in November of 2014, it doesn't really mean anything. So I think that's a great service that we provide here and kind of a side benefit, because we weren't really thinking in those terms when we started this. So in any event, hey, best wishes for the coming year. I know it's going to be exciting, and we will we'll keep adding as necessary, and we'll see what happens here in this crazy, insane world that we call home.
I look forward to it, Kerry.
All right. Thanks. We should just give out the places to find our respective work. mercenarygeologist.com. At Mercenary Geo is your Twitter feed, right? Yep. And what's the URL for your continuous audio programs?
Mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right. And we've got financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And for email purposes, you can, if you've got a question on this show or any other, kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. A Facebook page, which I've been putting a lot of stuff up there lately, is Financial Survival Network. Who would have thunk? And Mickey, we will catch up with you next month. We'll see if the Dow hits that elusive 20,000 mark. I'm beginning to think probably not, but who knows?
Well, the market will tell us at the end of the month, and it's just guesswork before then.
Exactly. All right. Till next month, Mickey.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.